Here.
Daigle.
Here.
Carter. Baca. Hugh.
Present.
Solar.
Here.
Miller.
Present. Okay, need approval of agenda.
So moved.
Or seconded.
Sorry. Wrong kind of meeting, I apologize.
Everything's pretty relaxed here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get better.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any approval of minutes for November 8th, 2024?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Public participation?
Nope.
Communication from the committee? None? Okay, then.
Here comes Samantha.
Need approval for the county and township motor fuel tax claim.
So moved.
For November and December.
Morning.
Morning.
January 2024, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Next thing on the agenda is the county engineer's report.
All righty, good morning. We've got a resolution item number 8 for the award of a contract for solar services for our on-site solar PV system on the top of the county highway department here. I have Aaron Rafferty and Becky Thompson from Nania Energy Solutions. They were our consultant that helped us go through this process. So I'm going to kind of go over the a brief introduction of what we've done, and I'm going to let them kind of walk you through the process that we used in order to kind of rank the RFPs that we received. So we sent out a request for proposal for the solar system. This is going to be housed on the backside and the big roof of the county highway department. We had a walkthrough on December the 4th of 2024. We had like 30 different people show up for the walkthrough, so we had a sizable crowd for the walkthrough. I was very happy with that. So they were invited to participate and turn in a RFP. The RFP is closed on January the 10th of 2025. We received 9 RFPs from those that attended the walkthrough. Nania Advisors went through and ranked all the different proposers based on a score that Aaron will give you some information about here in a second. And then on January the 30th, which was just last week, we brought in 4 of the RFP and did 30-minute interviews with them. We actually did it via Zoom. They didn't come to the highway department building. So we did interview 4 of them, and we have a resolution which we think is the person who is the top company who submitted an RFP. So I'm going to let Aaron, I know there was, Michelle Jett said that there's always a decision matrix that's used in order to come to a conclusion on these things. So Aaron was the one that put that together. So Becky and Aaron, you want to introduce yourselves? We got some new members here that you probably haven't seen. I know you can't see them, but we can see you. You're up on the big screen.
Well, thanks for letting us know that. I'll be sure that I
you know, don't do anything silly while I'm on the big screen. But good morning. It's great to see you all again. Becky Thompson with Nenea Energy. Some of you may remember us from a few months ago before we actually went out to bid. And so we're really excited to share the results with you today. It was extremely successful request for proposals, very competitive. It's a modestly sized solar array, so to see how many firms were turning out, I think is indicative of the quality of the process and I think the reputation that the county has for working alongside these firms. So I just wanted to notate that we were really pleasantly surprised with the turnout. And with that, Aaron, I'll let you kind of take it away.
Okay. So the procurement legislation that was used for this project is a little different than probably what you're used to for highway projects. It's called the Illinois Local Government Energy Conservation Act. So it's procurement specifically for energy savings programs. And unlike, you know, maybe like unlike other solicitations you're probably familiar with, this is not a low bid type of evaluation. The price is certainly important. It's very important, but it's not, you know, it's not the kind of the end all be all. So the scoring criteria that we use that's consistent with this procurement legislation is for 30% of the total score to be based on price. And we do that based on a dollar per watt pricing evaluation. So that way we can compare across different proposals and potential different designs from proposers. Another 30% of the scoring criteria is based on the proposers demonstrated understanding of the technical needs of the project, and so that's evaluating their designs, that's evaluating the technologies they proposed and just an overall kind of technical approach. Another 20% of the scoring criteria is based on the company's qualifications and experience, and then the last 20% is based on the local team's qualifications and experience. And so, you know, so like I said, it's probably a little bit different than what other county projects the committee is responsible for. But we find that it tends to lend themselves really well to energy savings programs and specifically solar projects like this. So we evaluated all the proposals, did a lot of reading through the proposals, brought the firms in for interviews, and we have a nice local firm that is being recommended at this time, like Jeff had mentioned. Jeff, anything else on the process that you wanted me to touch on, or that's kind of a brief summary?
Does anybody have any questions about the process that we used? Yeah, Matt.
I don't know about the process, it's about the specific selection, so maybe I'll wait.
Okay, all right. Nobody has any questions that are related to the process? Okay. So we brought in or interviewed via Zoom four different firms. We interviewed InWave Renewables, Sunpeak, Rule, not sure how to pronounce that, Mechanical, and then Illinois Solar Services. Even though Illinois Solar Services wasn't one of the top four as far as the scoring and ranking criteria, they have a very strong local presence in Champaign County. The Metco Engineering, which was actually number four, is based out of Dallas. They had no local representation whatsoever, so we kind of jumped over them and interviewed Illinois Solar Services, as well as the other three that ranked in the top three. So you can see there on sheet number 17, the price for each one. The three that we interviewed, InWave was $419,000, Sunpeak was $443,000, Illinois Solar Services was $476,000. And Ruley or Royal Mechanic was $483,000. I thought the interviews went real well. Becky and Aaron sat in on them with me. We asked a lot of specific questions. They did about a 20-minute presentation to us on the services that they could provide to us. InWave is a company out of Naperville, Illinois. They are a minority business enterprise. But the fear that I had with InWave is that they have been in business less than a year. And their financial statement showed they only had like $60,000 in total equity in the company. And I thought that doesn't seem to to be, I mean, they seemed like great guys. They were very organized. They did a great presentation. I'm sure that they're great people. I just was a little nervous about a company that didn't have much equity. There are two guys that were in the solar services for a long time with other companies, and they joined together as kind of a, you know, co-group and put together this proposal. Sun Peak was a company out of Madison, Wisconsin. So they didn't have Illinois as their home base. They had a good proposal. They seemed a little bit unorganized to me during their presentation. They didn't really have anything specific about our DVE or WVE goals that we have in our plan. So kind of didn't feel too fuzzy about them. Ruli is a company out of, they are out of the Peoria area. They have been in the solar industry for quite a while. I thought that they gave us a pretty good presentation, but they didn't have any Champaign-specific people that were going to be doing the installation. They might get some people out of the IBEW hall from Champaign, but the majority of the people that were going to be doing the project were not from Champaign County. And then Illinois Solar Services, who is their physical address is Washington, Illinois, which is over by Peoria. But their installer is a gentleman by the name of Mike Hagemeyer. He lives down in Pasotum, so he's here in Champaign County. He'll be doing all the installation work. And their engineer, who engineers the project, lives just north of Urbana here up on Leverett Road. So a very strong local presence. The company that is the overarching company, or I guess the project manager for this, Illinois Solar Services, has 8 employees. 4 of them are female, 4 of them are male. So I thought that was good for the for having females within the project. And then Mike Hagemeyer, who's the electrician that's going to be doing the installation, works directly with the East Central Illinois Building and Trades Council through IBEW here in Champaign. And he said he would do his best to see if he could get minorities on his workforce when he comes and does the project. He can't guarantee it because there's only so many of them that they can hire. If there's some to hire, they will definitely have them here on the project. So they are definitely in for making a good faith effort in order to, you know, meet our labor agreement. He has done jobs in Villa Grove. He's done 3 in Urbana. One in Bonneville. I did call his references, glowing references for this guy. Said he's very good, does whatever it takes, has good reaction time if there's an issue. Obviously, he's right here in town. We don't have to bring anybody from out of town if we do have an issue with the project in the future. So our selection criteria kind of brought them to the top, even though they weren't the top in, you know, the actual percentages in the matrix. We have talked to Illinois Solar Services about a few of the things in the matrix that they didn't submit in their RFP, and they have assured us that by the February 20th county board meeting, where this will officially be awarded, that they will have that information to us. So I don't feel like there's anything that would prevent them from being able to meet the contract terms. So if it were to be approved by the highway committee and awarded by the county board, we would go into quote unquote negotiations on a contract with Illinois Solar Services. Their actual timeline shows these solar panels being installed sometime and put into use by in May. So a pretty quick turnaround if we can get the contract settled with them. So that's kind of the information that I had to give to you, and I'd take any questions you have. Yeah, Matt.
Well, you answered a lot of them. It was, you know, of course, going to be InWave's got the 94% as the top ranking, and then Halo's got the cheapest proposal there. So you kind of answered on why that wasn't, neither of those on its own was the final decider. The final thing I wanted to ask about, you were just getting to, you said some of the things that they would not provide until we kind of get to the negotiation and the formality of the agreement. All these reds we see in the qualifications and experience, the Secretary of State certificate, conflict of interest, those are the things we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All those sort of things that are missing here that are bringing that score down for them on paper will be provided by the time we're voting on at the board.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. They're a pretty small mom and pop corporate kind of deal. You know, only 8 people in the whole company, and then they're using Mike Hagemeyer as their installer. So their bonding letter wasn't immediately available to them. They had to go somewhere and get one. They thought they would have it by today. I haven't seen it yet. Have you, Aaron? Not yet.
Not yet. No.
Okay. I actually called David after I talked to you this morning, Aaron, and made sure that he felt comfortable that he was going to be able to meet all these criteria before I brought, he's the owner of Illinois Solar Services, before I brought the recommendation to the County Highway Committee. So, yeah, right.
No, I like the fact that it was veteran-owned.
Yes, I forgot to mention that.
Half female. He's part of IBW Local 601. I probably met the guy, actually, honestly. You know, just that it's actually there are 2 people that are local that will be here, that actually will be responsible. We can hold their feet to the fire if something happens.
Right.
Rather than like somebody in Naperville, they're like, you're 3.5 hours away.
Right.
Who cares?
And actually, this Illinois Solar Services, when you do this, they get SRACs, and you probably know what that acronym
stands for. I've used those, actually, on my solar.
Yeah.
That's how I paid for it.
Exactly. That's how you pay for it. Usually that goes to a company in Chicago. I don't know if that's how yours worked, and then they kind of handled all that for you.
There's companies across the state that'll buy them.
Well, Illinois Solar Services is a broker for those, so they can do that in-house. They don't have to send that out to anybody and have that done. So I did like that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's a big plus. The only, you know, elephant in the room is, are we going to get the $130,000 federal money that we're supposed to get based on the program that's set in place? I can't sit here and tell you that we're going to, but I can sit here and tell you that regardless of whether we got that, I think this is a project we should move forward with. Okay. We have the money in the budget.
And we're saving in the long run, so that's what really counts.
I wish all, you know, departments here for the county would start thinking about that and doing that. That would save us a lot of money in the long run, right?
I mean, if you look at their cash flow, which I didn't provide to you, but it was in their RFP response, in the 7th year, we come out of the red as far as paying for the solar system, and then it's money, you know, that we're saving over the years. And they show a calculation of about $700,000 in savings over the 25 to 30 year life of the solar system. So, and as some of you know, but a lot of you are new, this building is all geothermal. So we don't burn much gas at all. It's all electricity, whether it's winter or summer. So the advent of putting these solar panels on the top is really going to save us a lot of money. I think our last electric bill was like $5,000, you know, because in the winter, those systems work hard to keep a place warm.
Yeah, trucks in and out all the time.
Yeah. And even though the whole net metering thing has gone away for home installations on commercial or buildings like this, it's still intact. So we get to use the net metering and build up our credits during the summer for when we need to use them in the wintertime.
Awesome.
So,
would you be able to provide, when we come up for the board meeting, what an updated score might look like with all these other pieces?
Yeah.
Just to kind of see how that would compare as the final percentage with everything submitted.
Can you do that, Aaron, before the 20th? No problem?
No problem at all. Yep. All right, I'll make a note of that.
Yep. Yep, we can do that for sure. So I would recommend the Highway Committee approved the resolution that I've drawn up here, saying that the county engineer has recommended awarding the RFP to Illinois Solar Services, and that the Highway Committee concurs with the recommendation, and that the county board would award the contract to Illinois Solar Services. And to your point, Matt, Illinois Solar Services has committed to being at the county board meeting on February 20th. If there's any questions y'all have or anybody else. So I would say probably not, even if this passes as 100%, not put it on the consent agenda so that we can actually have a time in the county board meeting to let them tell you who they are and what they do and so forth. I don't know how that exactly works, but, and I know somebody can pull it off the consent agenda once we get to the county board meeting, but that I'll leave that up to you folks.
So moved. Carter.
Second.
Right.
Any questions from the committee?
I will say something, though.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes give the little people a try, too. When you had mentioned about the small business just starting up, wasn't even so old, you know.
If they were here in Champaign, they would have been the very first one. but being that they're in Naperville,
yeah,
and all of their workforce is going to come down from there, I'd rather keep the money local, you know, and feel positive that we're going to get good support on the backside because they are local.
Just in future.
I agree.
Because, I mean, I know this was a big project, so just something to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Don't forget about it.
Never do.
Thank you.
Anyone discuss it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. All right, Becky and Aaron, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your input. I look forward to seeing the updated matrix, and hopefully we can get this awarded at the February 20th County Board meeting. We'll let you guys go.
All right, thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Just to let you know, those people are awesome. I've never worked with such a good consultant. They are on top of everything. I am so... Dana actually helped me pick them. He had worked with them before. I've been very impressed with their work, so if we ever do any other solar stuff, I would highly recommend Nanny or Nanny or however they say it. And they actually get their money because within the contract, there's, I think it's 7 cents per kilowatt hour that the contractor has to pay them. So we're paying them in a roundabout way, but we're not paying them, I guess, out of our direct pockets. But they have done a fabulous job. I'm very happy with them. All right, so we'll move on to item number 9, which is a resolution appropriating county bridge funds for the replacement of structure 010-4057. As you can see, this is just north of Sadorus. It's actually a culvert. We have multiple funds here, and the county bridge fund is the one that we typically use to build county bridges if we have the money in there. If we don't, we'll use motor fuel tax funds, maybe our federal dollars to do that too. But this is, we're proposing that this come from the county bridge fund because we do have funds in there to make this project happen. But it's a culvert that was built in the 1940s. If you look into it and look under it, it doesn't look that bad to me. But they have these new criteria that the state is using for these emergency vehicles, which are much heavier than a typical vehicle, and it doesn't pass the emergency vehicle load rating process that they went through. So the bridge has to be posted in the interim until we get out there to replace it. I'm estimating about $500,000 to replace it. That's a guess shot from experience that, you know, we'd be able to do that. We're working with a consultant to get a design done, and this money would cover the cost of that consultant and the cost of construction of a new bridge or culvert down just north of Sadorus. So I'd ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Sexton.
So for discussion.
Any questions? Yeah.
So there's a residence like right there.
Yep.
So I first want to, I guess, it sounds like we need to do this to get into compliance with the new regulations.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not sure it matters how much it matters on whether the resident approves or likes this or not, but have we been contacted about how this will impact them right in front of their driveway?
Not yet, but it is literally right at their driveway. It's right on the north side of their driveway. We're going to try to do a much quicker construction project than we typically do. I think we'll be able to use precast material for this, which means we can rip the old one out, set the new one in, cover it up. Hopefully it's only like a 2-week closure of the roadway. We're not going to try to do it under traffic and try to do it half at a time. That causes problems. You end up with a joint in the middle, and it just and with the box kind of not meeting the criteria now, if we cut half of it off, I don't know how that would actually work. And there is a fire station actually on the north side of Sadorus. Jenny's talked to the fire chief about the loading of the bridge. He says he's going to have to take a little water off of his truck so he doesn't go over the posted weights, but he didn't seem to think that that was a big problem, and he didn't feel like the construction project was going to be a huge burden on them.
Okay. In the 2-week interim or so that it'll be closed, do they have a plan to get the south side?
I'm sure they do. Okay. That's why we told them now. I mean, we're talking 2026 before we do this.
Okay.
So there's plenty of time for them to plan and be able to, you know, figure out their route when the bridge is closed.
Yeah, because it is a major route going down there, so mm-hmm. it would be nice to, you know, just have that fixed for long term.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially tractors.
Right. And right now, the current box was really narrow, which means we had to put guardrail installation along the box, which kind of encroached into the driveway for the people that live right there. And with the new box, we'll be able to make it longer, which means we'll be able to take the guardrail out. And we spend a lot of money every year repairing guardrail. It's one of those things that is just a continuous problem. People hit guardrail. They don't necessarily stop. They keep going a lot of times, so there's no accident report. There's no insurance for us to kind of claim against. So we end up spending $5,000 to go out and repair the guardrail, because you have to get a certified guardrail company to do it, because if the installation isn't done correctly and somebody hits the guardrail again and it doesn't work appropriately, then we could be liable. So this will take away all that guardrail that's along that roadway, which will help with the farm vehicles and everything else and our long-term maintenance of the roadway as well.
With the regulation changes, are there going to be other culprits that we find that are going to be out of compliance?
I'm sure there are. We don't know. So,
yeah. Just don't know how many.
Right. Yeah, that's the yeah. thing. How this works is they. They do all the bridge inspections for the county and the township roads and also the small municipalities throughout the entire county. That's 500 and some bridges, which you wouldn't think we have 500 and some bridges on the local system, but we do. And depending on the age of the bridge and what kind of shape it's in, we either do those on a two-year or four-year rotation. Sometimes if they get into a position where they're not doing so well and they have to be posted, we actually have to do them on a yearly or a six-month basis as far as that goes. So we are out inspecting them. If we find one that we think is below what we call a 4 rating, which is out of 10, we send that inspection to IDOT. We send all of our inspections to IDOT, and then they actually send a crew to do the load rating inspection, because in Illinois, IDOT actually owns all the structures, but the county is the, you know, the person that takes care of them on behalf of IDOT. So it's up to them to load rate them. It's not up to us. So whatever they say goes, basically. So we shall see. It's likely with the new criteria, with the emergency vehicles being heavier, that we will have other culverts. We did not have one single bridge on the county system posted. And the next one that we're going to talk about, same thing happened to us. So just culverts that were built back in the 1940s weren't built to take the weights of vehicles that were driving across them today.
When is this work going to start?
It'll probably be spring of 2026.
So did this price include inflation, possible inflation?
Yeah.
It did.
Yep. Yep. Anytime you do anything in a stream, it's a six-month process to get all the permits through the DNR and through the Corps of Engineers, and you have to do a bat survey, and they got to look and see if you're going to touch anything that's cultural, and they got to look at the historic preservation of it. It's quite a process to do a project. If it was up to me, we'd go out and rip it out and drop a box in and call it good, but we can't do that.
That's what should be done.
So I don't think there's going to be any holdups in that arena, being where the location is, but we have to go through the process. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution to appropriate the money to do that project.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. I got one small question.
Sure.
And hello, everybody. It's Steve Bava. I'm from District 9. I managed to go to Brookings first this morning.
Mm.
But glad to be here for my first time. I just have one question about the language in the resolution. It looks like it's a copy paste, but the first line is talking about inadequate to serve the needs of the traveling public. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, given the point that you're making about how this is regulation, it sounds specific to emergency vehicles. Does it make sense to update that language in the resolution to reflect that?
Well, the traveling public is served by the people that drive the emergency vehicles, right?
That's a great point.
So I would, this is standard language. We use it. I think it kind of covers all bases. And that's my recommendation.
right, that works for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll move the resolution.
Second.
We had a...
We just need a vote.
Oh, that's right.
Fishing.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, we have one more resolution appropriating funds for 010-4058. So you'll see the sequence of these numbers and these bridges, 010-45, 4057, and 4058 were basically built almost in the exact same time frame because of the numbering system of bridges. So this is another one that was built in the 40s, similar type of issues where the bridge is no longer adequate to carry the loads that IDOT is requiring them to carry. It's a very, very similar structure. It's a box culvert, but it's long enough to be called a bridge based on the 20 foot and over criteria that the feds use as far as calling them bridges. It is on Hensley Road. There isn't any fire stations or anything out there, but it is a pretty heavily traveled road. You can see there's ways to get around up to the north and then back around for those folks that you know, want to travel across Hensley Road. But it'll be a similar replacement installation. I'm giving it the same price point at $500,000 because they're very similar projects. So, and the same spiel for the whole deal as far as needing to replace it. So that's the other resolution that's on your agenda.
I move to accept that.
Second.
Been moved and second. It's open for discussion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I understand because I know my district goes right to Leverett Road into Market there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that exit's right there. The next one going north is Rantoul, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's, yeah, I know they get traveled all the time because people don't want to go down into Champaign and get off down there.
Right.
It's much easier for people to get around.
They come across there to get out to Mattis Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right across there, yeah.
Yeah, which is directly west yeah. of that. So, yeah, that's a busy road.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a very busy road, for sure. And the road's in great shape, just we need to replace the bridge.
Yeah, I traveled that one all the time when my son was at STM.
Sure, yeah, it's a great route to get there.
Well, I live right by Market Street, so I usually just go straight up Market rather than trying to go all the way out to the interstate and come up around.
Yeah.
With the 5774 stuff, I just go to Market and get on set 57 and go north.
Because you don't know which one's working week to week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go east to north or south to west. Or so I just avoid the whole situation. Any other questions on that one?
Okay. Seeing no more discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So just a quick note, Madam Chair. We generally, at the first county highway meeting of the year where we actually have a meeting, we go over kind of the budget of the county highway and kind of get the folks that are new to the committee acclimated to how many different funds we use. So I plan on doing that in March. I thought maybe this one might drag on a little bit with the whole RFP for the solar systems, and I didn't want it to go on too long. So we will bring the budget documents to the committee in March and kind of go through the different budgets that we have and the different funding scenarios that we use and so forth, so that everybody's kind of clear on what we use county bridge funds for, county highway, MFT, federal aid, all that kind of stuff. So that's all I have. And I will be at the county board meeting on the 20th with Illinois Solar Services to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Okay, then. Any other business from the committee? Seeing there's no chair's report, designated items to be placed on the consent agenda would be 9 and 10.
All right.
Okay, is there anything else that the committee want to address?
We like self-funding programs.
Yes.
We don't get a lot of those.
Okay, then, if there's nothing else for the committee to consider, I declare us adjourned.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.